Hi, everybody. This is episode 38 of the Rule Your Pool podcast. I'm your host, Eric Knight with Arenda. I'm doing this one alone from my studio. If you listen to the past two episodes, you've noticed probably an improvement on our sound quality because the clothes here in my studio are excellent at muffling noise. Today's episode, we're talking about wildfires. I guess I shouldn't say we because it's just me on this one. I couldn't get Joe or Jared. They're both traveling, and I'm about to start traveling heavily, so I'm trying to get some episodes in the can. And we had some requests, not only questions about not being able to hold chlorine in a wildfire area, but we actually had a request come into us about doing a podcast episode specifically about wildfires. So here we are, episode 38. Let's go.
Welcome to Rule Your Pool, the podcast by Arenda that explains and simplifies pool chemistry so that anybody, regardless of experience, can understand it. I'm your host, Eric Knight, bringing clarity to these subjects so that you can bring clarity to your water. If you're ready to rule your pool, then let's go.
I think we all know what wildfires are, and they're a destructive force that burns through massive swaths of forest and grasslands. What do they actually do chemically? Now, the biochemists on here, I am oversimplifying this. Full disclosure, and you're going to tell. So please don't call me and say, oh, you got that all wrong. You weren't nearly specific enough. Well, I'm not trying to be specific. Basically, fires burn things up into their root elements. And they convert it into new basic elements, but the main one is carbon. So when you think of ash, charcoal, the remnants of a big fire, burnt wood, whatever, that's primarily carbon. There's also a lot of nitrogen, there is phosphorus, there's a few other elements in there, but that stuff is primarily carbon, and when you think of what comes off of a wildfire, smoke, soot, ash in the air, all that stuff contains high levels of carbon and phosphorus and nitrogen. So the closer you are to a wildfire, certainly in the path of the wind or whatever, the more is going to also get into your pool. The rule of thumb is if you can smell it, it's also getting into your pool. If there's air quality concerns, or you can see that haze in the sunset and you know there's smoke all around you, it's getting into your pool too. And of course, if you have visible ash and debris getting in there, well, that's obvious. So let's start with the fundamentals. If you're close to a wildfire or you're in a wildfire area, number one is be safe. Be ready to evacuate. You need to be able to get out of there. Your safety matters a lot more to your, obviously, than pool chemistry. I know that sounds stupid to say, but it's amazing to me how many people just want to sit and ride it out. Well, you know, if you live in that area and you know how they move, okay, that's your decision. But I saw one when I was in Northern California about 3 years ago on a hillside, and everyone's just driving like nothing's going on. I couldn't believe it. It's this massive wildfire on a hillside. It was up in the Napa Valley area. And huge swaths of smoke going into the air. I've never seen that with my own eyes before. You see the photos and videos on TV, but I had never seen it. Now, some of you listening to this are in California or Oregon or Washington. You're like, yeah, that's nothing. I see them every year. Okay. Well, if you are, chances are this episode is for you if you have a pool. You want to make sure that you prepare for what could get into your pool if you're in a wildfire-prone area. And you know, once it's safe, of course, clean up after the fact. I want to touch on a few things that are a little bit more rare, and then we'll get into what everybody deals with. If you are like right in the line of fire, literally, no pun intended, you might actually have helicopters come in and borrow water from you. I've seen pictures of this. I've never seen it actually happen, but if they need water in a pinch, they're going to find a pool, hover over it, and take some water. This may have happened to you. If that's the case, it's super rare, but if that's the case, that vessel that just dunked into your pool, you can count on it being covered in ash and other stuff. So if that happened to you, most likely you're talking about a drain and refill anyway. But if the water hasn't flipped on you, you could simply clean up with some enzymes and some phosphate remover, but that's up to you. The bigger one is if there was fire retardant spray or whatever they drop from those airplanes and helicopters, if that gets into your pool, like the fire extinguishing stuff, that's a drain and refill. There is no chemical solution that we know of. That's a very complex chemical. You're just going to want to drain, rinse, start over after everything is safe. Again, that's rare. You got to be like right in the line of fire. And obviously, getting your pool refilled is probably pretty low on the priority list if your house just burned up or came very close to it. There's a lot more important things. And I don't mean to make light of that. I'm just saying these are rare circumstances. But the vast majority of people that are listening to this, they are not directly in the line of fire. They're just in the general area. And soot and ash and smoke get into their pools. That's the core of what I want to talk about here. If you can smell it, like I said before, if you can smell it, it's getting into your pool too. Now, nothing can replace physically cleaning out debris. If you have ash, if you have debris and you can see it, you got to filter it out. You can do things like try to flock it or try to vacuum it out, but most of it's going to get filtered out because this stuff is not going to sink very easily. It's going to stay on the surface, eventually go into your skimmer and get into the filter. So you need to regularly be cleaning out your filter to get this stuff out. Nothing's going to replace physically removing this stuff from your water. And it can be hard to see, too. If it's just smoke, you might not have that visible debris. But if you're struggling to hold chlorine, you can bet it's getting into your pool and you have to address it. So then it comes down to a pretty simple thing. How do you address carbon, phosphates, and nitrogen? Well, nitrogen, of course, has to combine with chlorine. We don't have a chemical. In fact, there's no chemical on the market that can break down nitrogen compounds directly. There is non-chlorine shock that can help break down ammonia and things like that, but not once it's combined to chlorine, I guess. At least that's what I've been told, and I've read some books that kind of disagree, and I've read some online sources. Something online was saying that you can use, I think it's potassium monopersulfate, to break down combined chlorine. But another source says, no, it doesn't break down what's already combined to chlorine. It only breaks down the precursors, the actual nitrogen oxidants themselves. I don't know what is true, to be honest with you. I've read it both ways. If you do know, shoot me an email. That'd be good. I'm not an expert on non-chlorine shocks, but I know that they can help with the oxidant demand in general. But in terms of nitrogen, that's a little more complex than something simple like carbon and bather waste. Now, obviously, we make enzymes that break down carbon chain non-living organics. Enzymes are awesome for being preventative or proactive in a wildfire season, not just because we make them. There's a lot of companies that make them. But having enzymes in your water gives you that line of defense against carbon contaminants like smoke and ash. Is it going to physically get debris out? No, but it can definitely help break down carbon to get it out of your pool so that chlorine doesn't get overwhelmed on that and it can stay focused on killing things like it was supposed to. So yeah, chlorine is going to have to go after the nitrogen because nothing else really will, but you can definitely address the carbon directly. Now, if you were proactive about this and you had enzymes in your pool ahead of time, good for you. That's awesome. If not, you're probably going to need to purge. Don't just start using a weekly maintenance after. Make sure things are safe, first of all, but a purge dose is going to be necessary if you did not already have enzymes in the pool. I guess a weekly dose might help a little bit, but if you want to conquer this and stay ahead of it, you need enough residual enzymes. And that's the same with every brand, I believe. I don't know what the purge doses are. I know what ours is, but I'll leave that up to you. The other thing is phosphates. Phosphates are definitely prevalent in this stuff as well. And so we have PR10000. We also have CV700, which is an enzyme and a phosphate remover. Generally, that's going to be the preferred product for this. But if you have a lot of stuff in your pool, a stronger phosphate remover like PR10000, again, there's several brands on the market that make these things, but taking care of your phosphates consistently throughout the wildfire season is a very smart strategy. Takes it out of solution, you can vacuum it out. And by the way, you're going to be vacuuming out other crud too if you're really close to a wildfire. So just keep that in mind. You just want to supplement your chlorine against this stuff. I know this is a very short episode because there's really not that much complexity to it. You have a bunch of carbon, phosphate, and nitrogen getting in your pool. How do you address that? Don't rely on chlorine alone to do these things because you need chlorine in residual to sanitize and prevent, the reproduction of algae or germs or whatever. That's chlorine's primary job, supplemented against the oxidants that are being introduced, and you should be good to go. If you have questions about wildfires, we do have a blog on our website, and it's available in the app. Go to the main menu, go into articles, type in fire, and you're going to find it there. Pretty simple. I hope this helps. I'm Eric Knight with Arenda, and this has been a very brief episode 38 of the Rule Your Pool podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Rule Your Pool, a podcast by Arenda Technologies. For more information on what we discussed in this week's episode, check the links in the description or visit www.arendatech.com.
I hope you find this show valuable enough that you tap that subscribe button and share it with your friends. You can also like us on Facebook and social media. With our help, you'll be able to rule your pool without overtreating it with chemicals and wasting money. I'll see you next episode.